Mitzvah Resh Yud Gimel 213, Shelo Lifnos Achar Avodah Zarah, not to turn towards idolatry, Lo B'machshava Velo B'dibur Velo B'habata, whether in thought, in speech, or even looking. Shelo Lifnos Achar Avodah Zarah Machshava B'dibur O Afilu B'ri'a V'levad. You're not supposed to look after, you're not supposed to turn towards Avodah Zarah in any way, whether you turn your thoughts toward it, or you start your speech, you direct your speech to talk about Avodah Zarah related topics, or even you can't glance and look at things that are related to Avodah Zarah. This is talk about if you're walking down the street and you happen to see a statue, I was talking about it. But if you redirect your sight towards seeing a certain thing, then that's not even allowed. Shenema, kidei shel yavo mitoch kach la'avodah. So obviously the reason is not stam, that you are not allowed to look or think about Avodah Zarah just for the heck of it, but the reason is that you're going to, if you start contemplating it, you might think, that's interesting, you know, that's a pretty statue, you know, maybe I will try worshipping it, why not? Shenemar al tifnu el ha'elilim, do not turn it towards false gods. Ve'amar zichron levracha, b'sifra, the halachic measures in Sefer Vayikra says, impone at acharehem at oso samelohos. That if you look, start turning towards them, then eventually you're going to turn them into deities upon you. Kelomar imata misasek beinyaneha. Kelomar laharher achareha shigonos asher yomru hamaminim ba. That if you start dealing and engaging with people who believe in Avodah Zarah, he says that they believe crazy things, which is interesting. That if you get involved in the crazy things, then you can get caught up in it, and you might get drawn after it. Shemazel plonio kocha plonia sepulakein. Is it what's insane? You think that a certain star, a certain planet, certain constellation has power over certain objects, or this people's futures, horoscopes, maybe? I don't know if that's, I don't think that's really it. Well, those are now the way it's practiced nowadays, but still not a good idea. So, v'chein b'ktores plones, o b'avodah plones, if I burn incense in front of an Avodah Zarah, then I'm going to get this result, or whatever, a certain type of worship of an Avodah Zarah. Otabit tamid b'tzura, I would add also, by the way, that it sounds like ktores doesn't mean that you're worshiping the incense. It means that you're offering an incense and you think you're going to get an immediate result. So I would add on to this, is not technically an issue of Avodah Zarah. This is more of an issue of Los Sinasu es Hashem Elokeichem or something like that. That we're not allowed to believe in Judaism, even though we believe that eventually things that will end up towards a reward for the righteous and a punishment for the wicked, you're not allowed to believe that a specific action that you do good is going to result immediately in something. Otabe tamid betzuros shosin ovdea kedei ladas eichus avodah sab, and you look constantly at icons. Now, whatever types of things that the people who worship Avodah Zarah make. So you want to know exactly how this Avodah Zarah is worshipped and investigate it and learn it. If you do any of these things, so you're likely going to come to worship the Avodah Zarah. I mean, this might have started in the olden days when, you know, they say that davened and removed the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah from the world. But in the olden days, in the times of the Chumash, the people used to have a very strong desire for Avodah Zarah, which they don't really anymore. So it's hard for us to imagine, okay, if you study the church very strongly and you go in and look at all the icons and whatever, so you're going to worship in a Christian manner, that's ridiculous. Nobody now, no Jewish person nowadays would do that. Well, maybe you could, if you really get involved and you really start learning a lot about it and it starts to appeal to you, so it's possible. But I'm not saying it doesn't apply anymore, I'm just saying that it's more understandable if you realize that it used to be a much more ingrained Natiya, an inclination that people had towards the desire for Avodah Zarah. U'peirush ne'mar sham b'sifra shafilu ha'habata levad asur. You're not even allowed to look at the Avodah Zarah. Sham Rabbi Yehuda omer, al tifne lirosan. Don't go, turn yourself to see them. V'inim minatam she'amarnu she'usiba litos achareha. This is, you're eventually going to start worshipping it if you keep doing this. V'chein k'dei shelo yivatel chelek me'azman v'isasek be'osan avalim. You shouldn't just turn your time towards investigating Avodah Zaradika things, because so if you become a professor of Greek mythology and you spend all your days studying Greek mythology, that's an inappropriate use of time. Whatever it is. V'zeu sh'amar zichron levracha b'shabes b'perek sho'al adam mechaviro u'dyukni atzma afilu b'chol asr l'histakel ba. What's the discussion in the Gemara over there? the Gemara is talking about, based on the Mishnah that talks about that you're allowed to list off your guests, for example. Say, oh, so-and-so's coming to my Shabbos meal, so-and-so's coming to my Shabbos meal, so-and-so. You're allowed to do it orally, but you're not allowed to read from a list. Mm-hmm. Why are you not allowed? You're not. You have a list of people who are coming to a meal, and you have the list, and you read off, oh, so-and-so, 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 because, why? Because you might correct the list. If you do it in the manner of weekdays, that you have a list and you read orally from the list, then it's, oh, yes, check, they're coming, no, they canceled, there might you might amend the list, and that would be forbidden on Shabbos.
Is this confused?
Yeah.
Right, so first of all, that's a good question. Second of all, according to some shittas, there's a major machlokes we've shown about whether this whole prohibition applies even in just looking at it, or you have to read it aloud. So there's a separate prohibition, which the Gemara connects over there, says there's a disagreement between the Amoraim as to whether this whole prohibition of reading a guest list is because gzera shema yimchok, you might erase something on the list, or gzera shema yikra bishtari hedyotos, that you might read things on Shabbos that are not things that are Shabbosnik. What does that mean? There's also a major, so there's a lot of different...
Your menu for Shabbos and Yanta, that seems very Shabbosnik.
Well, so is your guest list.
Okay.
So there's also a major disagreement amongst the Rishonim. What exactly constitutes shtari hedyotos that you're not allowed to read on Shabbos? So a thing that everybody agrees is shtari hedyotos is like checking your lists of stocks, things like that, things that are actually related to mekachu, memkar, to doing business that are really not Shabbosnik. But there's a whole disagreement about letters, personal letters, I mean, things like some people don't read writing that's on food packages. Maybe you need to know an ingredient or something because you're sensitive, so you're allowed to read it. But just to stop and read things on the food packages, according to some opinions, might be shtar hediotas. There are many different shitas about what shtar hediotas are, but a snif lahokel is that, again, according to many opinions, that only applies if you're actually reading aloud and not if you're just looking at it.
So when we have a level, right?
Right, the Ramah says, so it's mutter to read. It's mutter to read divrei chokhmah, something that's actually positive and builds your intelligence, as opposed to, I guess, things on a wine bottle, just stam entertainment. Yeah, but according to some Rishonim, like I said, though, the definition of shtar hediotos is very limited. So anyway, so what is this talking about? What does it have to do with avodah zara? Uh-huh. So the Gemara says over there that it's a problem of shtar hediotos to read ksav shemahalech tachas hatzura. What's a ksav shemahalech tachas hatzura? If you have an image on a wall, say, a huge mural, and underneath the mural you have a caption. So the caption tells you this is whatever story. One of the examples is David and Goliath. It's a mural depicting David and Goliath. So you're not, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to read that caption on Shabbos again. That'll be something. And the Gemara says, so that you're not allowed to read on Shabbos, but the image itself, you're not even allowed to look at on Chol. Obviously, I'll talk about David and Goliath, but if there's some sort of avodah zaradik issue involved, then you're not even allowed to look at the image on a weekday. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, based on this Gemara, you're not allowed to read captions on Shabbos.
Right. I don't, again, explain to me why that's...
Because of shtar hediotos, because there's shtar hediotos, it's just a silly thing that explains the image on the wall, so you're not allowed to read the caption on Shabbos.
So it's not quite making a connection between, right, you know, reading things that are unnecessary or a little bit frivolous or something like that on Shabbos, and, you know, avodah zara. Where's the, you know...
No, that was just the Gemara is basically discussing reading the caption. Then it says, but if the image has avodah zara in it, they're not even allowed to look at it on weekdays.
Okay. Okay.
It has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. That was just a side note in the Gemara that they off the cuff comment. So based on this, the idea that you're not allowed to read captions, so some people go to the extreme that even if you have a book that has pictures in it, then you're not allowed to read the caption of the picture.
I mean, still, I don't quite get it. Now, what is a caption contributing to the looking at the picture that puts it in a somehow a separate category from, I can't think quickly enough, but some other... You know, some other caption.
That's a good. You mean if it's in a book or on a wall?
Well, I mean, I'm happy to entertain either, but I would say either. I just don't exactly get it.
I can't say I fully get it either, I have to admit, but it's questionable as to the application to a book, because that's, you know, part of the Divrei Chachma of the book, maybe. There's a caption saying this.
Art school is allowed to go ahead and captions their pictures and their history of the Gadolim, right?
Right, okay. Right. So and then maybe it's just...
If this is Rav Cutler.
Right, if it's just, this is Rav Cutler, so that's not really a caption. The caption that they're talking about on in the Gemara is a longer thing, saying, this is a picture of so-and-so, and it's written by, it was drawn by so-and-so, and it explains this and that, and this is the backstory behind it. It means a whole thing, a whole long paragraph, as opposed to just a quick caption. Anyway, it's somewhat difficult to apply this to captions in books, but nevertheless, some people do. The Chaznish went even more stringently, and he felt that even the pictures themselves in books, not on a wall, but that are in, like photographs, are a problem of Shtari Hedyotos, and you're not allowed to look at pictures, you're not allowed to go through a photo album and look at pictures on Shabbos at all. That's part of this Gzeira of just frivolous, not necessarily Shabbos things. Anyway, so the Gemara says that Yukni Atzma Afilu Becholas or Listaka, but Mishum Shneemar Al Tifnu El Ha Elilim. You're not allowed to turn towards the false gods. My Tamuda, what does this mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Al Tafnu El Midatchem. Don't turn away a god from your knowledge, from your mindset. So there's a major machlokes between Rashi and the Aruch as to what that line means. Now, when I first read that line, what I thought it meant was, don't turn God, the real God, away from your mindset. Lal tafnu kel, don't put God, don't turn God away, midatchem, from being within your heads, what you're thinking about. But Rashi, that's more or less what the Aruch says. But Rashi actually says, al tifnu, don't turn towards El Midatchem, a God who is created from your mind. Mm-hmm. So either way, it means basically the same thing, that you're not allowed to turn towards Avodah Zarah, but it's just in terms of parsing that exact phrase, I would have thought the Pasha Peshat is like the Aruch, quite frankly. But
Rashi's works, right?
Rashi's works, because... But you really should have a preposition if Rashi were correct. Don't turn towards, it should say. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, so what it means... Right, so it means, it should say, Al tifnu el midatchem, or something like that, or le'el midatchem. Okay, but basically the meaning is the same. V'nichpal loves, this negative prohibition is reduplicated. Kilomar b'isra machshava b'avodazar b'mokam acherek. It's said in another place as well. Shenemar, we know this line from Grishma. Lest your heart go astray and you worship other gods. So if your heart turns away, then eventually you're going to start to worship it. Lest you turn towards heaven and you see the sun and the moon and the stars and you start to think, wow, those are so great. Well, maybe we should start worshiping them. It doesn't obviously mean that you can't go like this and look at the heavens. Mm-hmm. Don't look at them with the eye of your heart. Think, oh, what exactly is the sun's power? What is the moon's power? What are the stars' power? What is the star's power? In another place it says, you shouldn't try to investigate the way the idolatrous nations worship their deities, and you should think, oh, I like this method of worship, I think I'm going to do it myself. So you shouldn't go to your non-Jewish neighbor and say, how exactly do you worship your deity? That's interesting. But do you do it? How do you do the shchita of the animal? How do you sprinkle the blood and all these things? You shouldn't investigate too much.
How do you cut your hair in the temple? How do they investigate that without
That was a halachic shayla. That's not investigating. Okay. They didn't need to know for the purpose of knowing itself, but they needed to figure out the shayla as to whether the hair was in fact the tikrovas of odazar or not. So if you obviously halachic Posek needs information to make a decision about various things that doesn't apply under this category. Mm-hmm. That's similar to how you're not allowed to make in general images of the sun and moon, but we're allowed to make images of the sun and moon to teach things, teach halachos that are necessary, like Rabban Gamliel had moons, models of moons in his office, so when he asked the Eidim who came for Kiddush HaChodesh, so he said, did you see it like this or like this or like this? That wasn't a problem because that was just purely for halachic learning purposes. Levisha kolze husiba litosba. All this is a reason to make an error and start to worship Avodah Zarah. Shorash richuk Avodah Zarah v'chav Israel yadu alecha olana. Everybody knows why Avodah Zarah is bad, because it turns you away from God and you are going to waste your life doing other things. Dine ha-mitzvah ufrata yizbaru b'harbi makomas b'gemara b'pizor. All the halachos are explained in many places in the Gemara. She's hirunu ha-zichron el-vracha shlo lahar b'machshavas Avodah Zarah. They shouldn't on purpose think about Avodah Zarah. To a certain extent, maybe thoughts can pop into your head, but you're not supposed to on purpose lead your mind down a path that could end up in contemplating and meditating on Avodah Zarah. It's not specifically Avodah Zarah per se. If you think about idolatry, you can think about atheism also, which is not idolatry, which is also not good. And where do we find an explicit discussion of that? Again, in Krishma, you should not go astray after your hearts, because your heart can lead you astray if you start thinking about analyzing the truth of trying to think about other religions or lack of religion or anything that's against the Torah. You should not intentionally lead your heart down such a path. The Gemara in Kiddushin has the famous statement that if a person thought that they were going to do a certain mitzvah, or a certain good deed, and it happened to be that in the end they couldn't do it. They generally had a good reason why they couldn't do it, so God still considers it as for that person as if they did the good deed. But if you think you're going to do a bad deed, and in the end you restrain yourself and you don't do it, or for some reason you're nenas, you were prevented from doing it outside your control, still God doesn't consider it that you did the bad deed unless you actually performed the bad deed. So that's a very nice thing that God does for us, that there's an imbalance in how God treats our thought of either an avera or a mitzvah. But the one exception to this rule is Avodah Zarah, that if you start thinking about, ooh, I'm going to worship Avodah Zarah, and this is how I'm going to do it, and you start thinking, contemplating all these things, and eventually, you know, you get hit by a car and you're in the hospital, so you can't go to the temple of the Avodah Zarah to... Oh, why'd you get hit by a car? But it was, whatever. So you, some other onus, and you didn't actually get to the temple of the Avodah Zarah, and your window of opportunity passed, and you didn't worship the Avodah Zarah, God still considers it as if you worshipped the Avodah Zarah. This is in all places and all times, in both males and females. Over alayah pano el Avodah Zarah, b'derech sheyehei oseba maise loke. So obviously you don't receive the penalty of lashes for just thinking about Avodah Zarah. It's a lot lav shein bo maise, but let's see, what would be a maise? Interesting. The Marshal says that if there's a sheet, this is a statue covered by some sort of sheet, and you unveil the statue in order to look at it, so that would be considered a maise, and that would be incur the penalty of Malkus. All right. So it is a bit of an issue as to how on earth you could be
incorrupt. However it is, yeah. If you understand the details, I certainly think Rosh Hashanah saying you shouldn't be an art historian is because the great weight of many halachos on his side, I think is what it amounts to. I mean, I hesitate to say he didn't say that to me because I diverted the conversation before he got to that point, which he understood. I mean, we stood there looking at each other, it was suddenly clear where we were going.
Yeah, but what about so non-religious art?
Right. I'm in 19th century and it's landscape. And
uh-huh.
Say, okay, you know what? I'm only working on Turner, who only did landscapes. Well, you know what? Well, you're not, because you have to look at a million other things. You're reading books.
You're not investigating. You're not investigating other things. You're investigating Turner. That happened. Ancillary things. You have to check that in order to get Turner.
No, but right. Come on. Right.
I don't exactly.
Whatever. No.
Okay. Actually, so you could argue
too much. They apply to religions that are extinct. I mean, for example,
mythology.
Yeah, mythology. That, Greek, Roman, and Baal. You know.
I mean, the difference of religions that are extinct versus not extinct are in different areas. For example, if we found nowadays a statue of Baal, so we would assume it's an Avodah Zarah Bitla, because nowadays nobody worships it anymore, so it's as if all the non-Jews in the world declared, you know, we don't believe that this statue is actually a deity, and therefore it might be Mutar Bahana. And also, you're allowed to say the names of Avodah Zarahs that no longer exist. Not allowed to even mention the name of it, Al Shem Elohim Achim Lo Yizachir Al Picha, that you're not allowed to mention even the name explicitly of Avodah Zarahs that still exist and are still worshipped.
So that's why, in fact, you know, like, that he was, you know...
But the reasoning still applies, even if it's not technically Avodah Zarah. The whole point is that you're not supposed to turn away from Judaism to look at other religions and investigate other religions and enjoy the religious icons of other religions. You might not get Malkus if you can, or whatever.
If you decide Islam, for example, if you decide you want to go and learn more about the Quran, and that, you know, I mean, just out of curiosity, not
right. That would be a problem.
Even though it's definitely not Avodah Zarah. There's no possible. You know,
it's just for the sake of learning the Quran might be a problem. Yeah, I mean, I studied some Quran because I was learning Arabic. So you could say a larger goal of learning Arabic, and there's literature in it, but it's not so pashut. It's really not so pashut. But if you want to investigate the Quran and read the Quran in order to know what Muslims say about us and say about other people and to understand their worldview in order to better be able to fight it, then that would be mutter. But isn't that true? I mean, for example, if you know, they say that kids are influenced by the media they experience, but is a book that has improper values does it affect the souls of the kids as much as watching a movie or watching a TV show as this thing?
No.
The same thing. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the visual is the...
Well, different societies have different... teach people differently.
But the visual is, you're right, like you said, it's more immediate, it's more...
It has a separate standing, right. Which is maybe how you would come to say you could...
Mitzvah Ratio Dalet, 214, along the same vein, Shelo Lasos Avodah Zarah Lo La'atzmo Velo Lizulaso. One is not allowed to make an idol, either for yourself or for someone else. Shelo lasos avodah zarah lemi sheya'avda, not to make an avodah zarah for somebody who's going to worship it. Bein la'atzmo, bein lezulaso, afilia mitzave laso sagoi, even if it's a non-Jew who comes, let's say you have a statue shop, or whatever kind of shop, even if you're a printer, it could be to the image, whatever. Shenemar ve'elohei masichah lo sasu lachem, you should not make for yourself graven images. Even though it says lachem for yourselves, you're not allowed to make them at all. You violate two things: this prohibition and mishum lo sasu, umishum lo sasu lachem. One is in the Ten Commandments, and one is in over here in the Parshas Kedoshim. You shouldn't contribute to Avodah Zarah's existing in the world. Midineha, from the Lachos Zarah as follows, Ma Sha'am Rezichon Levracha, Ma Bein Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael, Avodah Zarah Shal Goy. There's a difference between a Yiddish Avodah Zarah and a Goyish Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah Shal Goy, Asura Bahana Miyad. And once the idol is completed, that's it. Completely forbidden Bahana. It's an absolute Avodah Zarah. Shenamar, Psile Elohehem Tisrefun Ba'ish. You shall burn their images of deities in fire. Mishipaslu Naselo Eloah. As soon as they're idolized, imagized, then they become deities. False deities, obviously. Shall Yisrael Ina Asura Bahana Achetelvid. But if it's an Avodah Zarah which is owned by a Jew, it only becomes prohibited Bahana once it's actually worshipped. Shenemar v'sam basaser, it says when it's talking about Jews worshipping Avodah Zarah, it says that the Jew placed the idol in private. Ad she'asa dvarim shebaseser shehein avodasa. As you have to do a private thing to it, meaning worship it, before it becomes Avodah Zarah. So why is it? It's interesting that the notes here say, she'yisrael eino oved Avodah Zarah la'baseser mipnei she'misyori mibezdin. The Jews only worship Avodah Zarah when nobody's watching because they're afraid that two witnesses are going to see them and then they're going to be put to death. I don't know if it's just that. It could be a societal pressure that is not very, if your neighbors see you worshiping Avodah Zarah, even if they're relatives, say, and they can't not kosher leidah, so the Beis Din is not going to catch you. It's still not going to be acceptable. I think that's a funny explanation of this particular line. It's obvious that Jews who worship Avodah Zarah only in private. But if it's something else that's used for Avodah Zarah, if it's something that's used for the worship of Avodah Zarah, so it's always only becomes prohibited once it's used for the worship and not beforehand. So if you are an Avodah Zarah maker, and you decide that, you know, maybe it's worth all these lashes because you're making so much money. So you might think, well, all the money isn't going to help you because we're taking away all your money because Asur Bano, because you're making Avodah Zarah. So the Sefer Chinuch says, that's not the case. So with each Avodah Zarah that you make, you're going to get the lashes, but you're allowed to keep the money that you got for producing it. Why? You might say, oh, well, you're only allowed to give the money if you're making Avodah Zarah for a Jew, because the Avodah Zarah doesn't even become an Avodah Zarah. This guy already buys it, he takes it into his house, so that's not relevant to you at all. I mean, it was Asur for you to make it, but it's not even become an Avodah Zarah yet. So how could it be Asur Bana? So he says, no, it's even if you make an Avodah Zarah for a Goy, because Mikol Makom Ein Asur Ad Shetigomer, because it only becomes prohibited when the Avodah Zarah is completed. So if you know, you're making the whole statue, and, you know, Yashka is still missing his nose, and you slap on the nose as the last thing, so then it's not a full statue until you finish the nose. Umakosh acharon shegomra ein bo shvei pruta. It says that we can only make a halachic status, change of status, for something that's worth more than a pruta. So the last hammer blow that created this Avodah Zarah is worth less than a pruta. That your time is 2 seconds, you don't get paid more than a pruta for that. If you get paid $3 million an hour, so maybe it is. But in normal circumstances, the last hammer blow is not going to be worth more than a pruta. So therefore, that's the only thing that would really be usher, that we would take away your salary. And we can't do that because it's less than a pruta. So in Mela, you get to keep the whole wages for making this Avodah Zarah at all. Minchas Chinuch has a discussion over here. So if you do that last hammer blow on Shabbos, so what's the status over here? So you'll be chayiv Mises Bezdin because of the Mloch of Makeh B'Patish, completing the construction or any type of project, that's the last hammer blow is Makeh B'Patish, doesn't fall under any other particular melacha. But you'll be pater because of Avodah Zarah, because this is not an Isser Misa of Avodah Zarah, it's just an Isser Malkus, so come libid the Rabba Minei, when you do two things and you get two punishments at the same time, so you don't get both, you get the most stringent, so you don't get lashes and then put to death, you just get put to death. Okay? But he says, he brings the possibility that if you make the Avodah Zarah for a non-Jew, so then the last hammer blow is actually what makes it into an Avodah Zarah, so that's a mekalkel, that alpi halacha, you turn perfectly good metal, plastic, whatever you're making it out of, into an Avodah Zarah, so that's a mekalkel. And on Shabbos, we know we're not chayev, it's also the Rabbanan, but when you do something and it's in a destructive manner, so then it's only mekalkel, and you're not chayev for the full penalties of Shabbos. So the Minchas Chinuch suggests that if you're making the Avodah Zarah for a goy, so in the last hammer blow, you won't be chayiv on Shabbos at all, because you'll be mekalkel. But then he says, maybe that's not true, because even though halachically it's considered to be mekalkel, since for the person who's ordered this item, and the way the rest of the world views it, it's not considered to be mekalkel, so therefore maybe you'll be chayiv for Shabbos also. The Yeser Rubei Pratek continues to say, for chinuch, Maseches Avodah Zarah. The rest of the myriad details are in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Benoheges Isura b'chol makom v'chol zman b'zchar monikevo. So all place in all times for males and females. The over v'asa Avodah Zarah lezula. So if you make an Avodah Zarah, bein asa l'goy ol Yisrael loke malkos achas. You have one set of lashes. V'im asa l'atzmo, if you make it for yourself, loke shtei malkios kemoshe amarnu, one from the Ten Commandments and one from here. U'shneha mishuma asiya levad l'chavonas avodah. V'afal pi shelo avodah. That even if you didn't end up actually worshipping it, nevertheless, if you made it with the intention that it should be worshipped, you're still liable for the full penalty, at least as relates to this particular mitzvah. I think the next mitzvah is a completely different subject, so I think we'll save it for next time.
are in the Gemara.